Now, I know a few people around here, you know, pay attention to advertising. There's nothing like a good ad. I was talking to someone during the week who was just talking about, you know, a son of theirs who, you know, he enjoyed dance. He pursued that a little bit. And he was talking about how, you know, with dance opportunities, sometimes it's not just about being on a stage, but there are other things that come with it. So in that instance, you know, here's the son, he's jetting off to New Zealand to choreograph a beer ad. Advertising, you know, can be really interesting. And I bumped into just an example that I want to use today. In coming over to Narendra the other week, I needed a wheel alignment. And so I went into a local business here and I noted a poster on the wall. And it was trying to, you know, bring customers in. That's the point of advertisements. And it was advertising mates rates. You may have seen that poster. You may, you know, connect it to a particular business. But mates rates, it promised that if you brought tyres or services only from them, you could expect a fairly significant discount as long as you put, you know, your business through them. And what was it that... cornerstone of that? Well, it's because you're our mate. You know, we look after you. You're our mate. We won't charge you full price. And it was appealing to a relationship, you know, because you're my mate. This is what I'll do for you. I'll go that extra mile. I'll make your life easier. And so I did some business there and I drove away happy enough. Tires are a straight ahead sort of business. You know, you put a tire on, you balance a wheel, adjust your steering. There was a wheel alignment in my case. But they won't be getting a lot of my business, I've got to say. And for the simple fact that I don't live in Narendra now. I live in Wagga. And it wouldn't be practical. So it would be much more sensible to work with someone who's a bit closer to home. Because a near thing really is better than the promise of something that's not easily deliverable or just can't be delivered. It's better to use a near thing. And so it is with God. And we just heard something, you know, just in communion about that personal aspect of the cross and its significance for us. And we just sang, "Oh Jesus, your presence is heaven to me." Proverbs, you know, are great, just a single verse. And you can mine so much from a single verse because it often contains just a thought. Others will be in a series. But Proverbs 18:24 says that one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you leave with nothing else today, if you could just remember those few words, closer than a brother. I don't know everyone's story here, everyone's personal story. And I imagine that, you know, outside spouses even, or people have known each other for decades, you know, we don't even know all the facts about a person's life. But I'm pretty sure, you know, that our journeys here over the years, or in recent times, or even our journey here today, looking, would come from a need that couldn't be met or answered just in ourselves alone, in ourselves alone. And when you have a need, you know, something that will answer that, it just stands out. It's so obvious. So a few examples to a person who's walking along in the dark, you know, a moonless night, just a candle, just a glimmer from a candle shows the way, doesn't it? If you're starving in a famine and you see a truck driving up and you see bags of flour on it or something, that means life to you. If you're an orphan and a stranger comes in and they just reach down and they pick you up and they hold you close and they say, "Would you like to come with me?" Well, that kindness changes everything. And if you're a slave, when someone comes and either takes the chains off you, swings open the door, well, your world changes in every way. If you're alone, if you're helpless, just the arrival of a friend, the discovery of friend, who says, look, I'm not going anywhere. You know, to use biblical languages, I'm never going to forsake you. Well, you receive that with a real response of great relief and joy. You know, happiness is just going richer and deeper than that. And that's because we've really been designed to live in relationship with a friend like that. But we have this issue sometimes, and that's that we forget that. We forget the significance of that close relationship. And that's an issue I want to pay a bit of attention to today. You know, it's easy to believe, and often we'll see in, you know, religions that that might involve serving, you know, idols or address unknowable things, this whole sense of a God that's distant, if he's around at all, or maybe it's a force, but there's something that's not personal about it. There's something we can't connect with. And we'll hear people really back that in or try and speak to it. And examples of that, I guess in the first part of that verse, you know, unreliable friends can lead you to ruin. There was a character in the Bible called Job. He lost everything, lost his family, lost all his material possessions, got crook. And he had three friends who came along and they told him all sorts of things about, you know, how his issues might either be his fault or, you know, what's God saying to you, Job? And it was almost like a real wedge could have come in there. But Job, he hung on to the notion of who he believed God was, and he saw an amazing outcome in the end. We hear mixed and confusing messages coming, you know, from all over the place. I just read last night, it's interesting, you know, it's an interesting media cycle at the moment. And, you know, if we take one hill, let's take the next hill. So, you know, this particular hill we'll sort of see, and this will be argued for months now, I imagine, is, you know, we're arguing for freedom of religion. And someone's already up saying, let's take the next hill, blow the, you know, freedom of religion. We need freedom from religion. You know, and people are passionate about this. What place has this notion of a God got in our world? And so we hear the arguments. But all the way back in the beginning, all the way back in the beginning with the first people, Adam and Eve, they knew that God was close. They walked with him. They talked with him. And, you know, I don't know what that looked like in a physical sense, but they knew his presence to be so real. And then they messed it up. And there was something changed in that relationship. And it wasn't quite there. But God didn't go anywhere. God didn't go anywhere. It's not as if all of a sudden he became that distant, unknowable God that so many people would sort of wonder about or talk about or even teach about in a mistaken sense, because God didn't go anywhere. And you read that right through the Old Testament, you know, you come across this guy, Abraham, who somehow knows God. He somehow knows that God's telling him to go somewhere, and he responds, and he sees amazing things happen. Then you get Moses, who again, he somehow knows this God. And, you know, he has God talk to him, you know, through a burning bush of all things. He sees God's hand open a sea so people can walk through it. These people he's led, you know, who were slaves in Egypt, he leads them out into the wilderness and they see that God's with them. He feeds them, you know, he shows them in a tangible way that his presence is with them, you know, by a pillar of cloud that appears over their camp, you know, during the daytime and at night time, a pillar of fire. So they had a sense that God was with them. But yet they found it so easy to forget. I don't know what takes you to that state. Joshua has God say to him, I'm with you. David writes and sings about knowing God's presence. Not only that, you know, he knows God's presence with him. He takes on a giant as a boy and these sorts of things. He has absolute confidence that God is with him. You know, the prophets, you read about all the different ones. Elijah, he knows God's with him, that he can call fire down from heaven. You know, they see people raised to life who are dead. They know that God's with them. Daniel, you know, his mates, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they get tossed, you know, into this furnace. And then all of a sudden this extra figure turns up in the middle of the fire. And they say, this can't be right, because the people walk out without a flame having touched them. And that extra person, who was that? There was something about the presence of God that the people, at significant, you know, instances over all those years of all that old history, knew that God was around, and yet they would forget him. They would turn to other things and move on to other stuff that would take them, you know, to dead ends. Isaiah was a prophet who talked about God with us also, God being with us, and it also looked ahead to a time when there would be one who would come, you know, the Christmas story coming up, one who would come and be with us, born of a virgin. But in that God with us, it wasn't as if they could see God's face. They couldn't physically put a hand on him. You know, Moses, he goes up, he has an experience with God, he's given the Ten Commandments, he comes down, people can't even look at him because he's been so close to God while not looking right at him that his face is glowing. And they say, cover up your face, we can't look at it. So all that time was sort of like God here, we can see those interventions, if you like. We can see all these ways that God shows us he's here. But then we suddenly see the literal and physical expression of God with us in Jesus. And people got so excited about it, for obvious reasons. If you have someone, you know, who comes along and suddenly makes your blind eye see again, that's going to do something to you. If someone dear to you drops dead and someone called Jesus raises them to life, that's, you can see the connection. You can see whose hand it was went on them. And you start thinking about this, you know, maybe this God stuff that Jesus is talking about, he knows very personally. And they just about fell over themselves to get as close to Jesus as they could. And how would it be if the physical Jesus turned up today? We were just singing about it again, weren't we? All my days on earth I will await the moment that I see you face to face. It's something we still long for. Maybe we're even jealous of what people saw when Jesus was here walking around, but it's something we really long for. But if you rolled up today, it'd be like, wow, look, coming in the door. We'll be sort of saying, well, life's easy now. Over to you, Lord. You're here. You run the show again. You know, we go home, have a sleepless night, and we get up in the morning and say, right, guess whose place I'm going to today? Yeah, we just want to be wherever Jesus was. We'd be asking him, what do you reckon about this, Lord? You know, I know this bloke, he's sick. You got something you can do with him? Or this lady, this girl, she's not doing too well. What do you reckon you might do here, Lord? Jesus' friends really loved having him around, you know, the disciples. When they were with him, they just knew anything could happen. And so they were a little bit confused. You know, they couldn't quite make sense of it when Jesus, who's been doing everything with them for a period of time, says, look, I'm not going to be around much longer. You know, I've got to go somewhere. This is what's going to happen to me. And they get confused when he says things like, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. And they say, okay, yep, Jesus, we can follow you. That's it. Where you are, we'll be. But then he says things like, but where I'm going, you can't come. They can still see him. He's still with them. So it's like, but you're here. We know where you are. He says things like, whoever walks in the dark doesn't know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light. He's telling him, look, I'm here, but I'm not going to continue to be here. My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. And in John chapter 14, in the first four verses there, he just says these words. He said, look, don't let your hearts be troubled, as they're trying to make sense of this. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you there? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, so you can be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas, predictably, sort of says, know the way to the place you're going. I don't know that way. What is that way? And Jesus answers, look, I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip scratches his head and says, okay, if we've seen you, we've seen the Father. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. That'll be enough for us. Because I can't quite understand that God is just not the physical Jesus alone standing in front of them. So Jesus responds to Philip. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who's doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the stuff I do, on the works themselves. Look, truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You can ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. I think they'd still be getting confused by then saying, okay, yep, you're like the Father. The Father's in you. You're in each other. Okay, you're telling us we can do stuff. Because, you know, we've seen you do stuff and we can do stuff like that. Okay, but we ask in your name. Yep. All right. Yep. We've seen people go out and do miracles in your name. That makes sense to us. We know that your name has some sort of authority and you're our friend. We trust you. Jesus isn't finished. And so he goes on, you know, in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I won't leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Before the long, the world won't see me anymore, but you'll see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you'll realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So three steps, you know, if we can imagine them. We've had God who showed himself, you know, right through with all these different people from the beginning after Adam and Eve, manifested himself by his interventions and doing stuff that the people could see the effects of. People understood and were amazed when God did that. Jesus comes, and now they can put a face to God. And they say, okay, we can interact with you. This is really good. You say we have authority. Great, we can go out. We can do miracles in your name. And now Jesus is filling in another piece of the picture of God, saying, okay, God with us, by what we can see him do around us. God in Jesus, through how he talks to us, what he shows us, what he teaches us. And now we see that other aspect of God, which is God with us to the degree that he lives inside us. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Okay, you messed up, you don't understand about me going, but look, I'm going to die, I'm going to go. You know, he fills in all the resurrection stuff. But he says, but I can't leave you alone. In fact, I've got to go because I'm sending someone with you who'll be God with you so personally, so close, that he'll take up residence inside you. And you'll be able to do whatever the Father instructs you, instructs me. All of those things will come together in you. That's the nature of our relationship. You'll never be apart from me. There's no chance of you forgetting me, such as, you know, my people have always done. So there's no gap or gulf between us and God when we reach that place, when we understand we've accepted and taken Jesus at his word. There's no gap between God and us. His thoughts are made known to us. The Spirit makes his thoughts understandable to us. The communication is just stepped up so many gears, you know, it's more than a 10-speed road ranger. You just can't even, you know, quantify that leap. And that's got to affect the voices then that we do listen to us. The start of that proverb, you know, about unreliable friends who would lead us to ruin, versus the friend who's closer than a brother. Who might be some of our unreliable friends that might lead us otherwise, you know? New idea, maybe. That might be a generation. Facebook, another generation. The papers, telly. Anyone hostile to God in the end is just not going to get it. And so their messages to you, you know, they're not going to stand up if they're telling us we need to be this, we need to do that. We can never be this, we can never do that. All things are possible, aren't they, in Jesus? Now, God's voice is reliable, you know, more than a friend, closer than a brother. God's voice is reliable, comes through our very spirit, you know, by his Holy Spirit living there. You know, we hear God's first voice just through the Word. You know, just to read your Bible, it suddenly comes alive, you know. It reveals to you things that you can't understand if you're outside God, you know, without his witness to you. He speaks to us as we pray, as we have that conversation with him. You know, we hear his voice in a way that just offers so much more than, you know, your degree in this or that, or your world and life experience. Just to listen and speak with him. And he's always available. If he's with us, lives inside us, it's not like he has a day off. His shift doesn't end. You know, if I were to, you know, call up my dad for some help, the dear old dad's not real good to me now. You know, he's been dead a year, so I can't get that piece of advice from him. But gee, God's always there, isn't he? You know, better wisdom than my best mate can give me, better wisdom than, you know, this earth offers. But again, how else does God speak to us? He does use, you know, the counsel of godly friends. He does use the counsel of people teaching us his word. You can bet your bottom dollar, if the presence of God is with you, then that's going to change something about the way you live, about the things you do, about the people you interact with and how you interact with them. You know, it's... if we think about the Father, if we think about God who manifested himself to his world, how did he do it with Moses? He had Moses lead a people out of slavery. So we know that God isn't totally just about this individual relationship, you know, between you and I and him. We know that has an impact in the world around us because he's concerned about his kingdom and the things in it. And so we're not here just, you know, to be self-focused. God's love looks out. It reaches, it draws, it pulls, it addresses all those issues that we see and recognise. So we engage with him to lead people out of slavery to the same things that might have held us and of which we're well aware. You know, whether they're the material sort of bondages or the physical chains to things like illness or chasing luxury, whatever it might be, our awareness of deliverance from those things sets us free to, you know, help God be about his business of setting people free from the same things. Healing, what an amazing thing to offer people. As Jesus said to his disciples, you know, they'd seen his works, and he says, look, greater stuff than this will you do. You know, who loved that story last week? You know, from a teacher here, if you weren't here, who just talked about kids in his classroom, and they had, you know, a physical need. You know, it was food, you know, parents not doing the right thing. And he was just quietly able to do something about that. Isn't that just what we're talking about? You know, that's meeting people where they're at out of a heart of love and an ability to do something. Why? Because God speaks to us. He prompts us. He leads us into those things. So we set our priorities accordingly. You know, we remember if God's with us and he's acting for the good of those around us, we also add to that he's with us to comfort us, to go back to that individual thing, to comfort us when we're hard-pressed, when we can't see the way ahead, when we're feeling alone or when we're feeling condemned, you know, because we hear a voice come in and say, nah, you're not up to it. You know, think of where you've come from. And so that voice, like of a, you know, an unreliable friend who would have you believe something than what God's Spirit would say to you and what Jesus says is true of us. To have that presence of God refreshes us and it spurs us on when we get tired. You know, I was talking to Dave Polhill last week, and we ducked out to Junee to the high school there to see what, you know, a couple are doing in that school. They think, you know, Dave said, oh, so great, you know, they've got a Christian principal and a vice principal there. We get there and the couple say, oh, you wouldn't believe the change it's made in this school. And talking to David, you know, separately to that, and he was, you know, just talking about just let's say his daily rhythm. I said, so Dave, are you a morning person? And I got the sense that he's not a morning person, he's not a night person. It's just like he wakes up and he's good to go, and he stays up late because there's something going. And we just talked about how God's Spirit really sustains you. You know, it gives you the resources for what you need. It doesn't mean we don't stop and take a rest when we need or whatever else, but he's our very source of life. And so it's not hard to be urged forward. It's not hard when we live aware of God's presence to keep moving on. You know, to quote an ancient song, which some here might remember, and this is an abbreviated version. I've got something that the world can't give, but the world can't take it away. It keeps me night and day. This isn't in the song. Well, that's the presence of God. But it makes me sing and it makes me shout. Just like Dave. Whoa, morning person, night person. I don't know. It's just, I'm just excited about what there is, you know, to be part of. It's not what you know. It's who you know. And it's God who's with us. He's the who you know. And how close? Closer than a brother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you saw your world. You saw your plan for this world. You saw our very revolt against you, our desire to do our own thing, and just what that brought in to harm our relationship. But we see what you've done about it. Lord Jesus, we've known your face and the witness of your life in this earth and what it did for us, what you did in dying on that cross, knowing that as you did so, you would set things right for all time, for those who believe, and that you do it in such a way that that it would be reliant on a knowledge of your presence. And how do we know your presence? Well, you also said, look, I'm sending my Holy Spirit to be with you, to live with you, to lead you into all truth. And so we live by the power of your life, but we live in the full knowledge of your presence with us. And so we desire to live in that place where we draw on your life for us, where we're encouraged to live in that way, that we encourage and bring others to life about us. So we just love your kingdom. We're so grateful to be a part of it. We want to share it with others. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.